Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Folks on Cape Cod are still trying to understand why late last week the Trump administration ordered a halt to meetings of the Cape Cod National Seashore Advisory Commission. That's the local group that advises the federal government on how to best manage the National Seashore. Joining us now from Provincetown is Richard Delaney. He's chairman of the Cape Cod National Seashore Advisory Commission. He's served on it since the 1980s. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, give us your reaction or how you felt when you found out that the Trump administration had moved to halt meetings on the commission.
Well, I think all of us on the commission were surprised, probably shocked. We had not encountered this before, and we had a meeting planned for today. Our official meeting, as had been advertised, was to start at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And we just learned literally last week that that was not to be.
And why does this matter? I mean, what exactly does the commission do that's so important for the administration of the seashore?
Well, we are its official advisory board, and we represent literally four levels of government, local, county, state, and federal government. And that provides a really wonderful forum for collaboration and communication. And the reason that's important is because this particular seashore park, Cape Cod National Seashore, was established as a kind of an overlay to existing towns. They were here much before at the park. Unlike a western park, we have open lands and it's owned by the federal government and they have a national park. This was one that was overlaid with town property and county property and state interests. So initially there was a fair amount of resistance from locals saying we don't need a federal agency running a show or running a program in our town. So the reason we created an advisory commission is to provide that forum to have a way to work out tensions between the levels of government.
I mean, to put it more bluntly, there was a lot of bad blood between towns and the federal government when the National Seashore was created because a lot of land was seized, some through eminent domain. I mean, folks may not remember or may not think of that when they walk the beach on the Cape these days. But that, Richard, made me want to ask you, I mean, to me, that's one of the reasons why the Trump administration's move is quite surprising, because here we have an example of how local towns, local people are given a voice through the advisory process, through the commission's process in the administration of, you know, a federal park, a federal reserve. So one would think that that's something that the Trump administration would support.
Precisely. There were incredible tensions and controversy when the park was established. Of course, nowadays, even some of those naysayers who are still around look back and say, boy, it was a darn good thing we created this because the alternative would have been a horror show. So most people believe in the park. Most people understand it. But yet there are still these intergovernmental tensions, which are natural. We've been very, I think, helpful resolving many of them. Our advice to the superintendent is almost always accepted and implemented. And you're right, this is an example of government working. Even to put it on hold temporarily, I don't see the wisdom. None of us see the wisdom of that.
The Interior Department has provided some reaction to the concern that's been raised out on the Cape about this move. Heather Swift, a spokeswoman for the Interior Department, has said that this is not, quote, an attempt to weaken local voices. This administration prioritizes local communities over special interests and bureaucrats, and that the review is aimed at improving the process. Are you convinced by that?
Time will tell.
Well, so what effect might this temporary hold have on how the seashore is administered?
Well, if this becomes permanent, the superintendent will have to lapse back to one-on-one conversations if some project that he or she is about to undertake or a management decision. They'll have to go to individual towns one by one. I think there'll be less communication. There'll be less coordination. It's probably not the end of the world. The park will go on. It will still manage its affairs. But I think those tensions from back in the beginning will start to percolate again.
Oh, interesting. Now, can you give me an example of a time or two when the advisory commission has actually made recommendations to the administrator of the National Seashore that ended up working out? Like, give me an example of how that relationship has worked.
Well, one of the early ones that was very contentious was whether or not off-road vehicles would be allowed to continue using the beaches pretty much freely as they had done prior to the park's establishment. And that was a really hard one. We set up sort of a negotiated process. We used the advisory commission as an independent forum, and we basically all came up with a consensus around when and where, what part of the year, and what parts of the seashore would be open to off-road vehicles. It worked out beautifully. Again, there were a lot of controversy around it, but it worked out. We also had an issue where 10 years ago, there was a great push to have jet skis operating in every water body in the bays and harbors and off the national seashore. They were deemed to be a negative impact to the environment and contrary to the mission of the park to preserve, you know, the peace and quiet natural resources. We, after negotiations and discussions, recommended banning them almost totally. The superintendent accepted that. And so far, that has worked out well.
Right. Well, that same Interior Department spokeswoman, Heather Swift, also said that, quote, the secretary is committed to restoring trust in the department's decision-making, and that begins with institutionalizing state and local input and ongoing collaboration, particularly in communities surrounding public lands. I'm just wondering, what do you make of that?
Well, I didn't realize that we had lost any trust among ourselves here on the Cape. I'm happy to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt if, in fact, they are and they feel they do need to evaluate this and other. I believe they said there are 200 other advisory commissions or similar bodies throughout the National Park Service and the Department of Interior. I don't know how the rest of them are operating, but it certainly doesn't apply to us. But I'm also a little bit mystified that they have to put everything on hold while they do this. They could certainly take a look at how things are operating without having to stop progress, especially, you know, in places where it's working. So my concern has been that I know the overall policies that are coming out of the White House, at least, are attempts to open up national parks, U.S. forests, sanctuary areas to more exploitation of the natural resources by commercial interests. And President Trump and his team have said repeatedly, and it's part of their platform, they would like to go into these national parks, particularly in the West, to drill for oil, to do more forest harvesting. And I would think that if there was resistance from the advisory commissions out there, that would not help them implement that policy. So my cautionary side says this could be an attempt to reduce the ability for the public to participate in those discussions about changes in policies.
Well, Richard Delaney is chairman of the Cape Cod National Seashore Advisory Commission. Richard, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome, Magna.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.